Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Living with the Dead, a conversation with Frank Cinelli. Everyone sees their imaginary friends, right? That's what Frank Cinelli thought for many years, until he realized that was not the norm. This and several other childhood experiences involving the dead would lead him on a path of trying to understand the dead better and seek answers. Frank's experiences are utterly unique, from being part of an accidental exorcism to removing a haunted painting from a home and much more. Today on The Grave Talks, we hear his story.
You know, after talking about this for years and years and years, paranormal apparently has always been a part of my life. I remember as a young child, maybe 4 or 5, I had an imaginary friend. Oh, okay, there's nothing weird about that, except he was all gray with blonde hair. Who knows? The other thing that was odd about my imaginary friend was his name was McTavish. Now, to preface this, I grew up in an all-Italian community. I didn't know somebody's name couldn't end in a vowel until I was in my teens.
Sure.
So I have no idea where that name came from, but it was weird. He wouldn't leave the house. He wouldn't, like if we were going to the grocery store, he wouldn't come. And I would have like these long, in-depth conversations with McTavish.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the first memory of something being weird that I have. Then, of course, as I grew older, I always had this interest. I remember I was about 9. I'm the youngest of 5. And my sister at that time was, you know, like everybody else, was into doing seances and cool things like that. So at 9 years old, I joined her in a seance in the downstairs bathroom of my parents' house. So there's probably 6 of us in there. It was like a big powder room kind of thing. We're doing the seance, and they're trying to contact a local doctor who had just died. Now, I had never met this man in my life. Didn't know, couldn't pick him out from Adam. I saw his face in the mirror, and I was able to describe him down to his little round wireframe glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a significant paranormal event. And it's funny, we were at a wedding a couple years ago, and one of my sister's friends was there. And that subject came up, and she was like freaking out still. You know, and this is probably going back 40 years or so. I'm not that old. Oh, yeah, I guess I am that old. Anyway, and she still freaks out over that, how I saw him in her boyfriend, her husband now, he saw him too. So yeah, we were kind of tripping on that for a little bit. And then as I got older, I would read everything I could possibly get my hands on about paranormal. You name it, I read it. I wanted to read it. The other big thing that really kind of drove me home with this was In Search Of, with Leonard Nimoy.
Sure.
You know, yeah. That just, like, wow, I didn't know all this stuff existed. And I'd start researching more. And it was hard. I mean, you know, small town in Pennsylvania, your public library does not have a big metaphysical section. You know, and of course, nowadays, research is like, I could sit in my easy chair and research with my thumb.
Yeah.
So it was hard. Going forward, we started messing around with Ouija boards and things like that. And I remember one time we were doing the Ouija board at my parents' house, my one friend and I, and we asked, okay, what is our other friend Dave doing? And whoever we were talking to said, shower. All right. So it's like we say goodbye. Mm-hmm. Go to the landline, right? Rotary phone, call him up. Hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I just got out of the shower. So that was kind of cool. We talked to one spirit who said he was Keith Moon. You know, I don't know if the drummer from The Who, mm-hmm. who had recently died. You know, that one I question because things got a little weird going on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and paranormal kind of came in and out of my life for a while after that. You know, of course, always around the fall, everybody wants to do spooky things, and we would go investigate or just kind of hang out in abandoned buildings. And, you know, not that I'm an advocate of breaking and entering, but, you know, we did what we did.
Sure.
And that was cool. But, you know, then other things, interests, girls, sports, you know,
yeah.
There's only so much time one guy has.
Yeah. Life kind of starts to take over. And then it kind of, you know, those interests start to fade. And for many, it kind of comes back later. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But I want to go back and kind of unpack some of the things that you talked about before we get too far ahead of ourselves.
Sure.
Let's talk about the imaginary friend initially. Obviously, you know, you have an imaginary friend. Other kids talk about having imaginary friends. But when was it for you that you realized most people don't see their imaginary friends?
I didn't realize that till later in life.
Okay.
Honest to goodness.
That's a lot of people. Yeah.
This was normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we didn't really talk about it much.
Sure.
I talk about my friend and, you know, and I'd say, well, mom, he's sitting right over there. You know, the mom would do the pleasant little mom thing. It's like, oh, you know, and try to address an empty chair. Oh, would you like some spaghetti too?
Mm-hmm. And she's she's just trying to humor you. And you're like, yeah, he's right there. He's gray, but he's there. And when you're a kid, everything is new to you. And so it's like, oh, well, this must just be how this is. You know, you don't question the absurdity of it how not common this sort of thing is. When was there a moment where you realized, was there like a conversation you had with somebody where you were talking about your imaginary friend and you're like describing him in detail and somebody's like, dude, like, I never saw my imaginary friends. Like, what do you mean he looked like that?
Yeah, no, that wasn't till later in life. As I was getting older, my dad told me I had to tell McTavish to leave.
Okay.
So I said, all right, buddy, it's dad says we can't play anymore. You got to go,
mm-hmm.
you know, something like that. And then I never saw him again after that.
Sure. How was that? I mean, because you're just going through life processing this as, you know, people see their imaginary friends. It is what it is. How did you process that when somebody pointed out people don't normally see their imaginary friends as later in life, as when you had that moment?
Yeah, it was a what the heck moment.
Yeah.
It's like, no, really? You didn't see your imaginary friend? Or it's not everybody's friend is visible.
Mm-hmm.
It was confusing. It was like, what the
You can
heck?
Swear. Go for it.
Okay.
Don't worry.
You know, sometimes I'm allowed to, sometimes I'm not.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. But yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? And it was that shock, that moment of shock. It's like I was actually hanging out with a ghost.
Yeah. Did you immediately go to ghost? Did you immediately think, oh my God, it was a ghost? Okay.
Yeah. I have no idea why, but
sure.
It's like, yeah.
And the name McTavish, obviously, it's not a very, it's not an Italian sounding name at all, because it's not an Italian name. So what, so where, you know, as you have this realization that, okay, this imaginary friend was not just in my imagination, did you do any research? Did you look into this at all to try and find anything about the name McTavish and maybe that area of where you grew up? You know, maybe generationally there was, you know, other immigrants there, another, you know, family from, you know, different lineage that had kind of populated that area at one time?
No, we had our three towns, right?
Okay.
So there's Bangor, and that was mostly Welsh.
Okay.
McTavish is not a common Welsh name.
Okay.
Then you have Penarddul, which was predominantly English.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, now McTavish is more of a Scottish name.
Yeah.
So there were none in our area.
How bizarre. Because you'd almost think, oh, yeah. Well, maybe, you know, years and generations ago, you know, there was, you know, Scottish family there. Or maybe that was, you know, predominantly Scottish at one point. But so there was nothing that made sense for them to, for him to be there geographically, I guess. Is that what you're saying?
None.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.